ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय। देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो 13th चैप्टर। The Hamsa Avatar answers questions. Text number 40. Mam bhajanti guna sarve nirgunam nirapekshakam सूरुधं प्रियमात्मानां साम्या संज्ञा संगादयो गुणा मां भजन्ति गुणाः सर्वे निर्गुणं निरपेक्षकं सूरुधं प्रियमात्मानां साम्या संगादयो गुणाः। गुणाः सर्वे निर्गुणं निरपेक्षकं सुहृदं प्रियमात्मानां साम्या संगादयो गुणाः। माम भजन्ति गुणा सर्वे निर्गुणं निरपेक्षकं सुहृदं प्रियमात्मानां साम्या संगादयो गुणा। माम भजन्ति गुणा सर्वे निर्गुणं निरपेक्षकं सुहृदं प्रियमात्मानां दंगादमगुणा। लेडीज मां भजन्ति गुण सर्वे निर्गुणं निरपेक्षकं सुहृदं स्प्रियं आत्मानां सम्या संगादयो गुणः। ट्रांसलेशन माम मी भजन्ति सर्वे सॉरी सर्व एंड टेक शेल्टर ऑफ गुणः क्वालिटीज सर्वे ऑल निर्गुणं फ्री फ्रॉम मोड्स ऑफ नेचर निरपेक्षकम डिटैच्ड सुहृदम द वेलविशर प्रियम द मोस्ट डियर आत्मानाम द सुपर सोल साम्य बीइंग इक्वली सिचुएटेड एवरीवेयर असंग डिटैचमेंट आद्यः एंड सो ऑन अगुणाः फ्री फ्रॉम द ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन of the material modes. Translation: all superior transcendental qualities such as being beyond the modes of nature, detached, the well-wisher, the most dear, the super soul, equally situated everywhere and free from material entanglement, all such qualities free from the transformations of material qualities. Free from the transformations of material qualities, find their shelter and worshipable object in me. Purport. Because in the previous verse, Lord Krishna explained his exalted nature, the sons of Brahma might have slightly doubted the Lord's position, thinking that they had detected some pride within the Lord's mind. Therefore, they may have doubted the instructions they had just received from Lord Hamsa. Anticipating any such reluctance, the Lord immediately clarifies the situation in the present verse. In the present verse, the Lord explains that unlike ordinary living entities, even up to the standard of Brahma, the Lord's transcendental body is not different from His eternal self and has no material qualities such as false egotism. The Lord's transcendental form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and is thus nirgunam, beyond the modes of nature. Because the Lord completely ignores the so-called enjoyment offered by the illusory energy, He is called nirapekshakam. And being the best well-wisher of His devotees, He is called surudam. Priyam indicates that the Lord is the supreme lovable object and that He establishes wonderful affectionate relationship with His devotees. Samya indicates that the Lord is neutral and detached in all material situations. These and other exalted qualities find their shelter and worshipable object in the Lord, who does not take material designations into consideration, but awards His mercy to anyone who takes shelter of Him. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16, 26 to 30 verses, Mother Bhumi, the predominating deity of the earth, gives a list of some of the Lord's transcendental qualities, and even more are found in the nectar of devotion. Actually, the Lord's qualities are unlimited, but a small sample is given here simply to establish the Lord's transcendental position. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted from the Kala Samhita as follows, quote, "The demigods are not actually perfectly endowed with transcendental qualities. Indeed, their opulences are limited, and therefore they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, who is simultaneously free from all material qualities and completely endowed with all transcendental qualities, which exists in personal body, in the personal body of the Lord," unquote. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. There are two more verses which have no purport and the chapter ends here. So we will read those two verses also. Iti me chinna sandeha munayaha sanakadayaha sabhajayitva paraya bhaktya grunat samstavaihi. Lord Krishna continued, "My dear Uddhav, thus all of the doubts of the sages headed by Sanaka were destroyed by my words. Fully worshipping me with transcendental love and devotion, they chanted my glories with excellent hymns. Tairaham pujita samyak samstutaha paramarshibhi pratyayaya svakam dhama Pashvatah Parameshtinah, the greatest of sages headed by Sanaka Rishi, thus perfectly worshipped and glorified me. And as Lord Brahma looked on, I returned to my abode. Hare Krishna. So the chapter is ending here. It began with the discussion of Lord Krishna with Uddhav, as Lord Krishna was departing this world. And then Lord Krishna explained and pacified Uddhav of his sufferings of anticipatory separation. And Lord gave him most wonderful, deep, in-depth philosophical understanding, and somehow pacified him and convinced him to stay back. In the process, the Lord explained to him how the three modes of material nature are the predominating things that make people work. And he also explained most wonderful thing, that by regularly associating with the mode of goodness and the things in the mode of goodness, we will maintain the mode of goodness and thus defeat the mode of passion and ignorance. And after endeavoring to maintain the mode of goodness, when we will associate with the Vishuddha Sattva Guna, the pure transcendental mode of goodness, then gradually we will transcend over the mode of goodness also and situate ourselves at least for some time in the Vishuddha Sattva Guna. And then by constantly associating with Vishuddha Sattva, we hope to most of the time remain in the Vishuddha Sattva Guna. That's what the Lord is explaining here. That's why he said that we should take shelter of meditation, mantras, purificated rituals, choose time and place as per the Sattva Guna, perform rituals which please the Lord, and thus engage oneself constantly in the activities which are defined in the Vishuddha Sattva Guna. Then Lord goes on explaining in this verse that when one lacks discrimination between the body and the soul, then he starts identifying with the body. The very blessing of human life is the power of discrimination. To understand the difference between body and soul, what is material, what is spiritual, what is good, what is bad, what is rational, what is irrational. When that is lost, and how it is lost? When we desire to enjoy separate from the Lord. When we want to enjoy sense gratification independent of the Lord's connection, at that time, we are forcibly entangled in the three modes of material nature. Otherwise, it is explained that, can we tell the ladies to stop talking there, please? Especially, so when when we are such in thus in this way entangled in the three modes of material activity, in the modes of nature, there is an urge of sense gratification which comes in. And when the urge sets in for sense gratification, then all the remaining discrimination is lost. And perpetually the soul goes on degrading himself from mode of passion to ignorance and to most degraded situation. And the only hope for the soul is to again come in the contact of a pure devotee by the causeless mercy of the Lord. Ultimately, when desire of sense gratification prevails and predominates our existence, only what hope remains is the association of pure devotee of the Lord. If somehow or other we come across the pure devotee of the Lord or a sincere devotee of the Lord, then the sincere devotee will connect us to pure devotee and pure devotee will connect us back to the Lord. And if we take this opportunity seriously, then again our journey, reverse journey can start. Then we start associating with mode of goodness and activities in the mode of goodness, things in the mode of goodness, people in the mode of goodness. Then we will remain on the mode of goodness. And thus bhakti will awaken. Because Shuddha Sattva Guna is the platform where the seed of bhakti is found. So, in this regard, Lord began to discuss with Uddhav what happened with the discussion of Sanat Kumaras, that is the four Kumaras, and Lord Brahma. And a very interesting point came up there, that Lord Brahma is a pure devotee of the Lord, the first citizen of the Brahmand, and the first foremost of Acharya of all the Sampradayas, actually, the first living being, Swayambhu Brahma. But because his service is constantly to create, to procreate and to expand the progeny in the mode of passion, so was really thinking for a long time. Look at the position of Brahma, even in the highest position, he still couldn't answer the question put up by the Kumaras. The sages headed by Sanaka asked Brahma, "O Lord, please listen to the question very carefully. People's minds are naturally attracted to material sense objects. And similarly, the sense objects in the form of desire enter within the mind. Therefore, how can a person who desires liberation, who desires to cross over the activities of sense gratification, destroy this mutual relationship between the sense object and the mind?" One who is desiring liberation, desiring freedom, but overwhelmed with the uncontrollable connection between the sense objects and the mind. How does one sever the connection? And it is explained here, difficult to understand, but explained here that Lord Brahma could not answer this question because he was engaged in activities of mode of passion, although he was not, but he was in associating with the activities of mode of passion. So what did Lord Brahma do? Very interesting and very enlivening point, that as soon as he understood that he is not in a position to answer the question, which means he was very humble. He didn't say that, "I am Brahma, I am the first created living being, I am supposed to be Acharya, I am supposed to be the first person in the Sampradaya, so I have to answer something, how can I be unable to answer?" Now immediately he accepted, "I can't answer." Many times when we are giving lecture, the people in the audience, sometimes they give us stumping questions. And seriously we can't answer, and we don't know the answer, it's so bewildering. The easiest way is to tell, "I don't know." Very simple. You can refer to senior devotees, or you can say, "I will study and come back." There is no harm, but it is worse to go on speculating and trying to answer the question just to satisfy our ego, that I am on the Vyasasana and I have to know all the answers to all questions. Brahma is sitting on the biggest Vyasasana, the highest Vyasasana in the whole creation. And he is humbly, what did he do? He immediately referred them to Lord Vishnu, immediately to the higher authority. He didn't say that, "I don't know and you will not know, because I don't know." He said, "I don't know, but you will know by approaching a person who knows, and that is Lord Vishnu, my master." And that's how he invoked the presence of the Lord. And that's how the beautiful incarnation of the Lord, Hamsa Avatar, appeared. And the Acharyas explained very beautifully, why Hamsa Avatar? Because Hamsa, Raja Hamsa, the swan, has a quality of separating milk from water or any other contamination. So typically here, the mind and the senses is like the contaminated water. The mind is fully attached to the desire to enjoy the senses. That means the sense objects, by the way of desire, are already in the mind. It's not the natural habitat of the sense objects to be in the mind. The mind is supposed to be pure in the mode of goodness, thinking about the Lord, naturally, actually, originally and naturally. But through the medium of the desire to enjoy separate from the Lord, the material senses and the material objects of senses have made their place in the mind. And now mind appears to be sense desires only. The mind appears to be the sensual objects only, constantly. It's like they become non-dual. So now the question is how to separate them. That's why Swan has come, to separate them. Very beautiful actually. Everything the Lord does is even poetically perfect and philosophically perfect and from the practical point of view also perfect. So then Lord Hamsa Avatar goes on explaining many philosophical points and somehow convinces them. The gist of the answer that he gave was that one has to actually associate with the Vishuddha Sattva Guna. That is the gist of the answer. And how to do that? We have to find out a devotee who is on that platform. We may get association of devotees who are beginning, but we need to finally connect to a devotee who is constantly absorbed on the Vishuddha Sattva Guna. One time Gurudev was asked, how do you define bhakti in one word? And then it was answered, somebody asked him. So he said, the one word definition of bhakti is absorption. Completely being immersed in the matters of transcendence, in the matters of the divine leela of the Lord. And then that person who is already constantly absorbed, when you go in his association, you start imbibing those situations that he is in, maybe partly, maybe sometimes. Whenever we are in association, we derive that situation of that person who is in the Vishuddha Sattva Guna. Share that situation with him. Get inspired. And that's how defeat the lower modes of nature. And that is our fortune. Although we haven't gone to jungle, we haven't renounced anything, we haven't gone to the forest and Himalayas, doing very severe hardships and penances to know what the truth is, to find the person who can show the truth to us. We have been just bestowed in the city where we are staying, the association of pure devotee. And that is our biggest fortune. So, thus explaining philosophically, Lord Hamsadev convinces and satisfies the question, how to separate the mind from sense objects. That means, if the mind is attached to the sense objects, then you have to replace those objects by objects of Lord's service. Desire to serve the Lord, objects to serve the Lord, and the service itself in the association of sincere devotees, when one gets absorbed gradually or does those activities more and more in number, outnumbering the activities of sense gratification, then gradually the desires of sense gratification get defeated and they are like asked to leave from the mind. And the mind starts enjoying and relishing the thoughts of serving the Lord, thoughts of being with the devotees of the Lord, thoughts of being in the holy places of the Lord. And when he does these things, he enjoys such nectar, then he gets attached to those and naturally those things are out from the mind. In the process, Lord Hamsadev was telling about himself. Let's see. What is he saying? That the yoga system, the analytical philosophy, the virtuous action, truthful religious principle, power, beauty, everything, self-control, fame, all reside in me. All find their place in me. I am the supreme abode of all these wonderful qualities. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarva pravartate bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Initially when we read Bhagavad Gita, we felt, thought Lord is so proud actually. Everywhere me, me and me. And he's telling us to get free from me. The feelings of I. He's guiding constantly all the listeners to be free from the concepts of I. But he's constantly talking I and I. But later on we came to know that it is a fact. If the mother tells the child, I'm your mother, it's not pride. It's a fact. But initially when our hearts are tinged with envy, tinged with material desires, especially tinged with desires to enjoy that is supposed to be enjoyed by the Lord, that means we are trying to be Lord over the material nature. trying to dominate the material nature. In that situation, immediately it is natural for the person to think that, oh, Lord is so proud. But this feeling of pride and envy is so innate and so dangerous that it may prop up in the highest stage of devotion also. Now, who are we talking about? We are talking about four Kumaras. They are not even trying to go in the mode of passion that Brahma wants them to go. Narad Muni has preached them, and Narad Muni has taken them away from the mode of passion, from the mode of creation, and they are now going to go to meditate on the Lord as eternal Brahmacharis. So they are not ordinary people. It is said they are senior to Lord Shiva also, the Param Vaishnav. That is their position. They are the beginners of one sampradaya called Kumar Sampradaya. They instructed Nimbarka. They gave them Sanat Kumar Sahita and the whole beautiful sampradaya, especially stressing on the Radharani and relationship Radharani with Krishna. One sampradaya is floated by them. They are not ordinary people. But even they, it's not to condemn them or anything, but even they doubted for a while, for a fraction of a second. Is this Lord very proud? What I am listening is right, or what we are listening is right, or tinged with some contamination? So they doubted. The Lord is very expert, because Lord is so transcendental that even while he is instructing, like he was instructing Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all those things happening in the mind of Arjun were also diagnosed by Krishna point to point, again and again, time and again. Similarly, when as soon as they didn't say anything, the wave of doubt came in the minds of Kumaras for a while only. But immediately Lord in the next verse answered that. And we all are subjected to this kind of thought process. I may think we are 30 years, 40 years in movement of Krishna consciousness. But these doubts, these envy, these questions can keep coming in the mind even to the last stage. We should not think that now we are doubt proof. And this doubt is very dangerous. Mind has a faculty of decision and doubts. It has capacity, it can keep doubting. And it can keep doubting, doubting and doubting, and whatever you believed in past also can be destroyed by this wave of doubt. And mind can take decision as per the doubts which are leading him. Or mind can throw the doubts away and take decisions as per the Guru and Krishna's desire. But all the point, all the time, what is required is constant, consistent association of sincere devotees. If unfortunately when doubt comes, you are alone and you don't take association of sincere devotees or do not get by the natural course of time, then the doubt can drag you down and you will never meet sincere devotees again. This is how the spiritual life is. Actually, it is based on a firm platform of faith and love. But the doubt can disrupt you from the steady platform of faith and love and take us away from the Lord. It's a very, very dangerous situation. That is why we need to know this, that we don't become doubt proof or envy proof or pride proof at any moment of life. And even though we give up everything in the world, all so-called objects of modes of passion and ignorance we have given up, we only will dwell in the objects of modes of goodness, and we go in the forest, still our Bharat Maharaj fell down. Something came up in between. Last thing came up in between, and one lifetime was wasted in between. Another lifetime, not wasted, to come back again. So much time was wasted. He said he was so much close to Krishna actually, in Bhava stage. But if you are not vigilant, if you are not careful, and what is being careful? To remain in the association of devotees. There is nothing else we can do to be more careful than being in the company of sincere devotees. We have to always make sure that I will be in the company of sincere devotees. Whether we are grihasthas or brahmachari or sannyasi, vanprastha, whether we are brahman, vaishya, shudra or grihastha, whoever we are, what is required is, just by remaining in temple, we are not assured that we always will be in company of devotees. And similarly, when we go out, we should not think that, oh, now I am outside, what to do? I have to associate with people who are not in that bhakti. In both conditions, we are in precarious situation. Whether we are in the middle of devotees, crowded in the temple, or whether we are away from devotees in the material world doing our business or work. There is always a situation that we can be lonely without association of devotees. Being lonely is such a situation in today's world. You can be lonely in the middle of a crowd of 1,000 people hugging to each other. You can still feel lonely. Because association doesn't mean that physically you are people. Association means you have to take the association. Your mind has to be ready to take the association and drown yourself in the association of devotees who are leading you to Krishna. So it's a association is an inner faculty of the soul. It's a desire of the soul to be with devotees, to be with the objects of bhakti, to be with the activities of bhakti. And then one can be foolproof. When we are forced to be alone, sometimes physically away from devotees, we have scriptures, we associate with Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, Narad Muni, Sanat Kumaras. And thus we keep our association. Because there is a tendency and desire in the heart, which we have made sure it will be there always. And that will take us to association. And then, so when we have to be very careful, even though we reach the situation of four Kumaras in spirituality, we should not rest assured that this will not happen to us. Then Lord is very beautifully explaining that I am also called as Priyam, that is the Lord who is supremely lovable object. And he establishes wonderful affectionate relationship with his devotees. Now when the person constantly keeps the company of sincere, loving devotees of the Lord, then after he becomes absorbed in the activities of bhakti, what the Lord does, very unique thing he does, he steals away all the knowledge that the devotee has. But what knowledge steals away? That he is the Supreme Lord. And then that person becomes Brijvasi. And he goes to Braj. What is the speciality of Braj? The Lord is a supreme lovable object. And they don't know anything else. That he is Supreme Lord. And he has got six opulences. And he lives in this abode. And he has this and he has that. They don't know anything. At one point of time, Krishna was just trying to show the devotees that how great he is. He is actually Vaikuntha man. He is actually Vishnu. He was Lord Ram in the past life. So the gopis started teasing him. You are an ordinary coward boy. You don't even know etiquettes. What to speak of you being the avatar of the Lord or Lord himself. So it is said that the Lord showed them. This was happening in Kamyaman. The Lord showed them his Ram avatar. He appeared as Lord Ram. He became green from blue. And Balaram became Lakshmanji. And all the cowards became monkeys. And immediately ocean appeared there. At the bank of the ocean he sat down and he established Rameshwaram Linga. He worshipped the Linga. And then he marched. And then he saw the ocean and he immediately started putting stones. And within few minutes the whole setu was built in the middle of the ocean. And when the monkeys and Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman, they crossed the ocean, that ocean which was created in Kamyavan. At the end of the ocean, Ravan appeared. And the Lord took out his bow and arrow and shot the Ravan and he fell dead. Everybody clapped loudly. Prabhu Ramchandra ki jai. And after that, immediately came back again as Krishna and Balram. And the coward boys came back as coward boys. But the Rameshwaram remained, the Setu remained, the ocean remained, Sri Lanka also remained. Ravan died. So, at the time they are asking, show us this, show us that. So at the bank of Apsarakund in Govardhan, parikrama, he showed 24 avatars. He dug the earth by becoming Varaha avatar of the Lord. So at times, the devotees are demanding the Lord. It's also a pastime, similar pastime. But where the gopis are insisting, we heard that you were Lord Ram in the past life. He said, no, I am an ordinary boy. I am son of Nanda Maharaj, I am a cowherd boy, I herd cows. Why are you talking all these things? No, we will not talk to you if you are not going to show us your Lord Ram's form. Now, that is a big threat. If the gopis threaten him by that, we will not talk to you, that is the worst of all threats. The personified fear is fearful of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and he is fearful of the threat of gopis that they will not talk to you. So he had to show, to please them, to keep the company of gopis constantly, he had to show them Lord Ram and Lakshman's form. So the same pastime has taken in variety of ways in the same place, in different kalpas. So the same Yashoda Devi is trying to see in the mouth of Krishna, and she saw Brahmand. And immediately she came to know, oh my God, I am dealing with the Lord. I must offer my prayers. I have been threatening him. I have been showing stick to him, scolding him, trying to teach him shishtachar. Now I understand it's all mistake I did. She heard offering prayers to him. The Lord did not like that. So again he stole the knowledge by closing the mouth and giving a big smile. And whatever she saw and whatever knowledge she derived from what she saw, all knowledge vanished. It's like all knowledge of Krishna being the Supreme Lord gets evaporated in the atmosphere of Vrindavan. The atmosphere of Vrindavan, like for example, if you have a hot atmosphere, then everything becomes vaporized there. So like that, in the loving atmosphere of Vrindavan, all the knowledge of Aishwarya just gets evaporated. And Lord tries to sometimes impress upon the gopis and the gopas by telling them who he was. For example, Baladev went to Mother Yashoda to tell her as a last effort of releasing Krishna from the bondage of mortar that we sing every day morning, Ukhal Bandhan Leela. All the gopis have come, they have failed, some of them crying, some of them are laughing. Some cowbirds came, boys, they were laughing because every time Sri Krishna is eating the butter and they get caught and he runs away. So now all those coward boys who are getting caught every time and getting beaten and getting scolded and punished by the gopis, they are very happy and clapping. And those coward boys who are eating makhan with Krishna and running away with him successfully, they are crying that their leader is being caught. So they try to untie, but you know, the knot which is tied in Vatsalya Ras could not be untied by people in Sakya Ras. So they were unsuccessful. And then it is said that day Balramji had gone to Upananda Baba's house with his mother on special loving invitation of Upananda Baba in their place. So he returned after some time. And while Krishna was being tied, Krishna was shouting, Mother Rohini, because you are not there today, I am being tied today. See how cruel my mother is. Where are you, oh dear Mother Rohini? Please come and help me. But she didn't come that time. She had not returned by that time. After Mother Yashoda scolded Krishna, be here now. Because you know, in between what happened? They were discussing how the pot got broken. So he said, I didn't break it. You so hurriedly got up that the ornaments and the, what do you call, the fillers, what you were put in the borders of the dress, the ornaments that you had put on your dress border, that pulled the pot at one point. You only pulled it by your ghagra. That's how the pot broke. I didn't break it. I was trying to save it actually, because you were running so fast. But I was so small, pot was so big, so pot fell down and broke. And then she said, you're so naughty. You saw the pot broken, and you went inside and took another pot of ghee, and ate yourself, and started distributing to the monkeys. Actually, you love monkeys so much, you're like monkey only. The image, Krishna is very smart. He said, okay, I'm like monkey, I'll go to forest and stay. Why should I stay at home? You're anyway calling me monkey always. So it is said, Mother Yashoda actually got really scared, that this boy is crazy, he will really go to forest, and start living in the forest. So I better tie him, and make sure that he is there till I do the work. It is Diwali today, a lot of work is there at home. That's how she tied. And she threatened him and went away. Better be in one place only. I have a lot of work, please understand. Be quiet over here. And she went inside. Then the boys came and the girls came and they were not successful. And then Balram came in the end. And Balram felt very bad. Sri Krishna said, see, Mother Yashoda bound me. Please help me. He said, okay, I will go. And I will try my best. So he went. And he told Mother Yashoda, do you know who Kanha is? So she's like, looking at him, what is he going to tell me now? He said, our Kanha is supreme personality of Godhead. He is the creator of all Vaikunthas. He has created Goloka Vrindavan. He was Narasimha. He was Varaha. He has killed Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. He was Matsya. He was Kurma. He is the source of all incarnation. And Mother Yashoda is looking really interestingly. Said, then who are you? So I am Anantishesh. I am always accompanying him, Vaikuntha, whenever he becomes Vishnu, I am giving him bed. Is she listening very carefully? And he is thinking, yes, yes, my trick is working. And she says, She takes out a stick and she said, all the incarnations are supposed to be in my house only. Get out from here. What is he saying? That means all the incarnations have to be coming into my house only, taking birth in my house only. She is not affected by the power of, you know, the Aishwarya that he is trying to exhibit. All that was truth actually, whatever Balramji was saying. And Balramji was speaking this from his own lotus mouth. How powerful that must be. But still that is not affecting the heart which is filled with love of Yashoda. That is the power of Brajbhumi. Krishna is so lovable an object that they, even you try to remind them with the transcendental truth by the transcendental tongue of Balramji, still they are not getting affected. And Lord also tries to sometimes keep doing things to remind them that who is he? Let's have fun actually, like opening mouth. One time he left gopis in, now we are Sharad Rutu going on, but then there is Vasanti Ras also. In Vasanti Ras Lila, he left again, became proud. And he stood on the road in the form of Vishnu. Now all of you should know that all the Brajvasis worship Vishnu, including Nanda Maharaj. Adokshaj Vishnu, or Varaha Narasimha, or varieties of forms of Narasimha Dev, Vishnu, they keep worshipping. So they have Krishna in their house as a sweet baby, but they keep worshipping Lord Vishnu. So he stood as four-armed Vishnu with full of opulences. It is said as soon as he appeared, Kshir Sagar appeared. And as soon as Kshir Sagar appeared, a lotus appeared under his feet where he was standing. As soon as he manifested that form, immediately all the entourage appeared there. And he is standing in between, in the middle of the ocean on the lotus with four-armed form. And gopis are coming one after another, you know, like mad, maddened by the separation for Krishna. And what is happening? They saw Vishnu. What should they be doing when they see Vishnu? They should bow down for Dandavat Pranam. Because suddenly they have got darshan of Vaikunthanath. What do they do? They asked him, where is Krishna? Have you seen our Krishna? Krishna was trembling actually with the expression of love that gopis were having. Their emotion, their love, their separation, their sincerity, their purity of love. He was like getting overwhelmed, but somehow he was maintaining his four arms. He said, one of his arms said, this direction. So all the gopis ran in this direction. They didn't even bother that Vishnu is standing here, our worshipable Lord. And then in the end, Radharani came. And somehow Bumblebee was revolving on her head. And she was talking to Bumblebee, thinking that he is Krishna. And giving bad words to Bumblebee. You are such a wretched person. Such an untrustworthy person. You meet us and you leave us. You do the two treat us the way you want. What kind of a lover you are. Nobody should meet you. You are not worthy of meeting anybody. I should just give up your company forever now. And she is talking like this. But still she is hankering for Krishna. And the Bumblebee is revolving. And this how she is like. She doesn't know where she is walking. And she is just intoxicated with the separation of Krishna. She is walking and she comes near Vishnu. And she also asks Vishnu, "Did you see my Krishna?" And when she asked, at that time, Krishna just trembled. That Vishnu form of Krishna just trembled. And in trembling, these two arms melted. All Shankha Chakra Padma Gada just melted. And they disappeared. And he was forced to become two-armed Krishna of Vrindavan. In front of the eyes of Radharani, he became Krishna. So she is asking, where is Krishna? Then he only became Krishna. That means what? Krishna could not maintain his Aishwarya of Vaikuntha in front of Radharani's Madhurya. Her Madhurya defeated his Aishwarya. So Vrindavan is a place where he is simply a lovable object. No Aishwarya stands there. How otherwise? So many examples are there. Krishna's Aishwarya keeps getting defeated again and again and again. For example, Krishna lifted Govardhan 7 days, 7 nights. And there is something called as Vismay Katha. Vismay Katha means all of the Gopas, they regularly come together every evening and they discuss what happened today. So they want to take a stock where Krishna is in danger or not danger, what we should be doing, precautions. So they keep meeting. So they met after 7 days when everything was fine. They met in Chaurasi Khamba and they were discussing and everybody else was telling, "This Krishna, your child Krishna is wonderful actually. How he lifted 7 days and 7 nights? Amazingly he lifted. And that too so effortlessly, with a little finger of his. And he also was playing flute. Isn't this amazing? We were all scared that the mountain will melt, a mountain will fall down. He himself will go in ecstasy after playing flute. So we were all worried. But nothing happened. We enjoyed the flute also. We saw the darshan also. 7 days, 7 nights we were observing him. How wonderful. Your child must be a devata." Now, one statement of opulence came in front. That he must be a devata, demigod. So Nanda Maharaj started laughing loudly. Said, "He's devata? Hey, he's devata? They're not so uncontrolled. When I don't give him makhan, he goes and steals in the houses of people. When he doesn't find makhan in the houses of people where he has gone to steal, he puts water in the ears of the children who are sleeping in the cradle. He pinches them. He passes urine there and goes away. Are these signs of a devata?" And he's laughing and laughing and laughing. In this, again some discussion started. And then they said, "He must be a rishi actually. Some powerful man, some siddha he must be." He said, "All those rishis, they are so fearless. They don't get feared by anything. They have taken shelter of the Lord. They are fearless. But this boy, when there is thunder in the sky, he comes running in the lap of Mother Yashoda. Mummy, please save me. I'm scared. There's some demon in the sky scaring me." Again he laughed and then he said that as and when they went on telling something of Aishwarya of Krishna, like he is Siddha Purusha or he is Sadhu or he is a demigod or he is a Rishi, as soon as they were always saying this, Nanda Maharaj was laughing, laughing and laughing, and finally they defeated the statement in such lovable statements that all of them actually fell down on the ground holding their tummies. They laughed and laughed and laughed and they rolled on the ground. And finally in the end of the day, nobody believed that he was a great man, he was an incarnation, or he was a sadhu, or a demigod. They felt he is such a simple, loving baby of ours. That is the life of Brijvasis. No faculty of mind, of decision and doubt is actually there. As mentioned over here. Because when one gets absorbed, then this is the situation. That absorption is a foolproof vaccine against the modes of material nature. We somehow or other need to remain absorbed in Krishna Bhakti, in thoughts of Krishna, in thoughts of Vrindavan, in the Leelas of Vrindavan or the other Leelas of the Lord, transcendental pastimes. We have to make sure that we do that. When the Lord sees one who is his devotee but is absorbed, then the Lord sells himself to that devotee. Always accompanies that devotee, runs behind that devotees. And thus the Maya in the form of desire to enjoy separately cannot touch him. And such are the Brijvasis, whose inner cores of heart are always filled with love and thoughts of the Lord. Next is, he is Suruda, he is the well-wisher of his devotees. He is Nirapeksham, because he is never affected by illusory energy of the Lord. So many wonderful things are mentioned over here about the Lord. But the most important factor is, he is the most lovable object one can repose his or her love in. We have need to repose our loving tendency. Gurudev always says that we only have two needs, to love and to be loved. That's actually in reality the needs we have. But these two needs are misinterpreted. And then we go on doing something nonsense in the world, in the name of being loved and to be and being loved and to be loved and to love. But when we repose these two tendencies with the Lord and his devotees, in the Lord and their devotees, then everything becomes perfect. No Maya can touch us. That person is fortunate, one who truly believes in devotees and truly loves devotees and truly is ready to do anything for devotees. Because the devotee is so dear to the Lord, and if you and me repose our loving, appreciating tendency in the devotees, then the Lord becomes obliged to us. Because he loves them so much, and you keep faith in them, and you get attached to them, you get connected with them, he becomes very impressed, influenced by your mood of having faith in the devotees. And thus he chooses to accompany us all time, wherever we are. Jethe jato tethe tu maza sangati. He will not leave such a devotee. And in that attempt, we perform this Kartik Vrat. To keep the company of the Lord constantly, we do Kartik Vrat. Because when we perform Kartik Vrat, all the demigods desire to be and reside in the body of a devotee who is performing Kartik Vrat. The Kartik Vrati is very attractive personality. Even if a small Vrat, if one takes in Kartik, all the demigods like to reside in the body of their devotee. And when a person is performing Kartik Vrat, the Lord is also eager to reside with that devotee. So we have been bestowed upon with such a wonderful mercy. We can always say causeless mercy. Always causeless only. What we have done to achieve that mercy. So the Lord has given this wonderful time period in the wonderful human lifetime period, Kartik period, in the Manushya Kal, Manushya Jivan Kal, he has given Kartik Kal, most powerful, so that we can all very easily, constantly be connected with the Lord. Through the pastime of the Lord, through the remembrance of the Lord, through the company of his devotees who are reminding us of the Lord, whatever we may do, we have to keep remembering him and be grateful to him. And these thought processes of remembrance of the Lord will constantly save us from all the unwanted, untoward things happening in this world. We can actually live like a lotus flower in the mud of this world of suffering. The Lord, I must end this discussion with one another pastime which will help us to remember the Lord always. But the Lord, one gopi was, she woke up in the morning and she thought that today I will churn the butter and I want Krishna to come to my house to steal. With that desire, she is singing songs of yesterday's pastime and churning the butter. And there Krishna woke up at the same time. And he said that without doing anything, without even meeting Mother Yashoda, he straight came to the house of that gopi. And she's so happy, so thrilled to see that her desire is instantly fulfilled. But it is said that when that kind of love is there in the heart, it's not exhibited openly. So she says, why have you come so early morning to my house? He says, I'm very hungry actually. Says, why? There's no food in your house? Mother Yashoda is not giving anything to you? Why have you come to my house? He said, I felt like having everything today in your house. As I come to your house. And the gopi is very smart. She says that as he has come to me, I must take the full advantage. So she is saying, I will give you, but you know, my yogurt is still not ready and not churned into butter. So you have to wait. And while I am churning, there is some music of my bangles and my ornaments and my movement and the churning of the yogurt. So with that music, you please dance. And if you dance, I will give you the butter. So it is said that, you know, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Controller, is making the whole world dance as per his whim. It is said the whole world is his puppet. And he is the puppeteer. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki. And the whole world is a puppet and Krishna is a puppeteer. But that puppeteer who is making the whole world as puppet has become a puppet in the hand of a gopi. And she is churning and Krishna is dancing. And after some time she is saying, can you give me a little butter? He says, no, we in Vrindavan Dham know all the science of Sangeet. And Sangeet means three things: dancing, singing and playing instruments. Unless you exhibit all the three things, I will not give you butter. Try, keep trying. And she kept on churning. It is explained in Bhagavatam how in a very small childlike voice Krishna was trying to also sing along with his dancing. And she was so happy seeing Krishna's attempts in doing some taan and alap and doing some steps of dance. She is attempting, and she is so happy. She is looking at Krishna and churning. And she went on churning and went on churning and went on churning. You know what happens when the butter comes and you keep on churning? Anybody has an idea? Anybody has churned the butter? If butter comes up and you keep on churning, butter goes back in the buttermilk. It disappears. So butter came and she kept on churning. She is looking at Krishna. She is absorbed, completely immersed in the joy of watching Krishna. And when she came into her senses, she saw the buttermilk is there. It's not no more yogurt, but it's all butter has gone mixed with that. And now Krishna is saying, give butter to me. He says, I'm sorry. All the butter has gone back into buttermilk. So he said, okay, no problem, give me that. Because he knows that if I don't take that, I am doing some insistence on the butter, then neither I'll get buttermilk nor I'll get butter. So better I get buttermilk. Do you know how much buttermilk she gave him? A little handful buttermilk. Which is enough to ferment the milk in the night. That is called chullubhar. Chullubhar means only little bit. And she gave that to him and said, okay, dance again. Then I'll give next lot to you. And Sri Krishna kept dancing and kept getting one spoon of buttermilk. And for that buttermilk he has to dance again and again and again and again. You can imagine how much the devotees, how much Krishna is offering himself to devotees, those who love him. He is the owner of all the Vaikuntha planets. All unlimited butter and yogurt is available to him, whatever way he wants, just as you desire. All Vaikuntha vasis will come running and give him tons of butter and buttermilk. But to get one spoon of buttermilk and the palm to suck and lick, he has to dance and dance and dance. But he says that I have renounced all the opulence of Vaikuntha to come and steal and to come and beg and to come dance for that spoonful of buttermilk from the gopis. Because he is not interested in that buttermilk. He is simply tasting that love that they have, which is making him subservient to the existence of gopis, which is making him a puppet in the hands of gopis. And they make him dance and dance and dance. So this is our Lord. So lovable actually. And it is not that he is only like this predisposed to only gopis. Every living entity is potentially a gopi. If only remain, only we become absorbed like the gopis in service to Krishna, in the thoughts of Krishna. Then we don't want him to dance for us. We don't want to make Krishna dance for us. But the love that he is reposing in the hearts of all the gopis, that love we definitely want. We are all hankering for that love. We want to love him and we want to be loved by him. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Sri Radha Damodar Bhagavan ki. Are there any questions or comments? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.